Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 238.
What?
You're telling me to shush during my opening?
Man.
Adam's not here to make funny faces.
To be fair, that's just his normal face.
That's not nice. Maybe that's why he's not here. You guys were so mean last week when I wasn't here.
No,
you weren't. He's mad I made him say poopy. So, I enjoyed that personally. The only reason I highlighted that was so somebody would say it at the podcast. That's how I roll.
Did it impact your sales at all?
No. Well, I'm sold out, so yeah. I guess it did. Everybody wanted it.
Normally you're full of poopy.
This is what I come back to. But I'm Colin McMahon, returning owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh, never Matt. Owner of Pittsburgh Dave. Comics. What?
Whoa, let's try that again. Hi, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh,
Pat,
Dave.
Here we go. I think we're getting it. We're getting it.
Like, add the commentary. It's, you know, your name.
Should I start pointing?
I said never owner of Pittsburgh Comics. I didn't know.
Okay.
He's going to
jump all over you. Gotcha. What's the cords in the fridge there?
We're trying to keep it cool.
Fair enough. But, so yes, I am back from Baltimore. Plenty of stories to regale.
Regale?
Not really. It was good. I definitely came back refreshed, recharged, rebirthed. No.
Rebirth.
But it's kind of funny because as I was really happy and making changes and stuff, and somebody made the comment, you know, is this like the, you know, Pittsburgh Comics rebirth after 10 years? Now you're going to do stuff. And I do feel good. What?
It just sounds kind of offensive. Like, after 10 years, now you're going to do stuff.
No. But
now you're finally going to stop being a slouch.
I was talking to a customer and I said I'd gotten lazy, and he says, no, it wasn't lazy. I just got complacent. And I did. I got a little, you know, just kind of the train was moving. Just let it keep rolling. But in Baltimore, I went to a couple like workshops, just were, you know, led by other retailers and stuff who, you know, were really good in this particular area. And it just kind of, it was like somebody, you know, sitting behind me, slapping me in the head, going, yeah, I should, why am I not doing this? Yeah, there's a lot I can do here, and I did get kind of...
They shamed you?
No, I mean, not, they didn't know they were doing it, but just sitting there, I started, like, I just showed the guys here how many notes I took, and normally I just sit there and listen, and okay, but I took pages and pages of notes, and writing down thoughts and ideas, things I want to do.
So what made it click? What made this one click? Because it seems like all these conferences you go to, it's similar stuff.
Maybe it was specifically, it was the two workshops I went to. Normally you go to them and it's like, you know, getting more women in your store. Okay, you know, it's led by women retailers. And yeah, we have our friends come to the store. Okay, thanks. Lots of help.
It's the ladies' night.
Bunny
right? Yeah, right. And so... But normally,
on the pierogi ranch, like, yeah.
I remember going to one, it was on Constant Contact, and it was like, okay, I used that. It didn't really give me any insight or anything like that.
I constantly get emails from them saying, thank you.
Yeah, I know, I don't know.
I never
know
get
why.
The $10 cute, or no. the 10%.
It's never that, it's just the thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't feel good about getting that spam mail.
I'm sorry. But I went to one on, it was on, just called on metrics, and basically about, you know, watch what you're selling, what, you know, stay away from overstock, clear stuff out. You know, it was pretty simple, but when the way he presented it, it was, you know, really quite eye-opening. It was like, if you order one extra copy of every comic that came out last month, it would cost you
$700.
Well, right, but it would be about $900. And he's like, now multiply that by my six stores, and there's my round-the-world trip. So imagine if you have two extra copies, and all of a sudden, you know, it multiplies. So, you know, do you really need that extra copy of whatever that issue is?
But it's not just that. It's also, you know, for you, you have a backstock problem
right.
where you have long boxes
right.
full of books.
And then talking about, you know, how do I, you know, why do I have those long boxes full of books? Why haven't I moved them out? Even at a, you know, a discounted price, I'd be better off not storing them and having the money. The big thing was, like, he was talking about some action figures. He had a real nice visual up on the screen of it was like a Walking Dead zombie figure, and he's like, you know, since we have to order these by the case, you always have that one extra figure that nobody wants. You know, nobody wants zombie there's, number three.
Yeah, there's 12 of those in a box, and right. Roy Darrell.
And he said, and you know, how many people have one of these sitting on their shelf? And everybody raised their hand. He's like, why? Do you not realize that that peg could have something that's actually going to turn into money? And instead, you have something that's been sitting there for probably a couple of years. Why? You're not a storage unit.
It's like a roommate at that point.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. It was basically get rid... And it was one thing he said. Hang on. Shoot. It was really, really well done. Sorry. I'm unprepared on this.
All those notes, he's unprepared.
No. But,
You need a tablet. Certain.
There you go. Good. But he said basically, like with toys, there's A-list, B-list, silt, and garbage. And A-list is the stuff that always moves real quick, the Deadpool action figures. B-list is the Green Lantern action figure. You don't sell a ton, but you sell one every once in a while. Silt, that's the things that have been around too long. You know, and move out quickly. And garbage, don't let anything turn into garbage, because basically there's no reason to have it.
Like the monster figures.
Yeah. So yeah, it was lots of little things like that. Little comments like, you don't have to order 25. There's no crime in ordering 22. You know, you don't have to use a round number just because, oh, it's a new number one, I'll order 25. There's no reason to order 25.
Do you do that? Like, do you find that's something you do? You order that, like, nice round?
Something like that, I typically will. Mine now, I'm more often going to order, like, 10, you know, of a new book I'm not 100% sure of. And I've gotten into that.
Number eight.
Right, but that number comes from a couple places. One, Boom. I have to order 10 of every Boom book to be a part of the Innovator program. And IDW tends to do, if you order 10, they're returnable. So you tend to order 10. So that 10 quite often, like I know Clips, I didn't know what to do. I ordered 10 of that one. I think I talked it up too much. I think I sold out.
It's not a bad problem.
No, it's not. But it was just talking about wasted space in the store. Yeah, that's a great display. How much have you sold? Is it earning its space? Would you be better off putting something else there? That's exactly why I have...
Can you use Zenoscope?
Well, that's a perfect example. Yeah, and then so as he's talking, I'm going, you know, you can see, gosh, I came up... Do you see anything familiar?
Yeah, there's that walkway, that hallway right there.
Yeah, but no, like, here's a diagram of the 2 8-foot tables. So it just, you know, in that, I was thinking, I'm like, well, this makes perfect sense. And the Zenoscope rack, the second one, like, the first one I have restocks coming. My problem with the one that's right there under the TV is every time I would order from, they have the nice white covers, and I'd reorder from Diamond, and they'd send me a colored cover that jumps out, it's out of place. But I'm going direct through Zenoscope, so they're sending me the white covers. So that one, but the one around the cover, nobody, around the corner, nobody sees. It doesn't really have much in it. It's more Wonderland stuff. Well, there's no reason I can't use that to clear out $5 trades. Here's this week's selection of $5 trades and change it up every week. So people come in and make a point of looking at it. New. Oh, what's something there? And that's my big problem is something new. I tend to get, again, complacent, and that works. That's been sitting there. Well, gosh, that thing that's been sitting there for so long, I can't remember the last bust I sold out of one of those racks on top of the back issues. So what's the point of having them there? I don't know what I could put there, but...
But it's not even necessarily moves. Even like, so you got that rack where you got the top 25
right.
Yeah.
DC
right.
trades. You know you're going to sell them, but it's always the same. I don't even look at it anymore.
Right.
Where maybe if you just... swap them around a little bit because it's
not right. Well,
no
here's one thing he said that I really like.
Changes and oh yep. Wow,
he has a display of the top 100 trades sold chain wide in his store every month, so okay. It changes every month, and he puts that up. Well, so what I was thinking, I don't want to do 100 because that's too much, and there'd be a ton of ones at the bottom. But take down the Valiant display, move it somewhere, and put the top 50. And maybe it might be like top 50 of the year to date. Because I don't think each month I don't do enough that...
Well, let me ask you, though, because, like, The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Or Watchmen. I know every year during, like, Free Comic Book Day, you sell a ton of those. Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't have them there and then have them there.
No, well, I wouldn't. Maybe.
Here's the thing with The Killing Joke and Watchmen. You're not selling those because someone's standing there and says, oh, Watchmen, I've heard of that. Like, I imagine they want that. They're coming and looking for that, so you can put
possibly,
it
yeah. But it, I think people like seeing, oh, what are the top, you know, like, this is just DC's random ranking. Yeah. But if I have it here,
no,
what people like to see is they do like to see what are other people buying.
What are other people buying?
Wow, I've never heard of this, but really? It's your third best-selling book? I never heard of this. Maybe they'll give it a try. Yeah. And he also made the point was then he would go and walk into one of his stores and look at the display and go, gosh, you're missing 10 books out of that. What are you doing? These are our best sellers. Why do you not have that in stock? But something like Watchmen, it wouldn't kill me to have an extra copy of Watchmen. That's not going to be a problem.
You're gonna get rid of that,
right.
Yeah.
So if I had two Watchmen, that's not a problem at all. So, but little things like that, like, you know, Valiant, that's been a great display, but how long? That's been up at least since February, probably longer. So maybe it's time to change that up. Mm-hmm. So lots of things like that. Batman Day's coming. So these hopefully won't be around after Batman Day because I'll make people an offer they can't refuse. Because the Batmobiles are great.
You're going to shoot somebody in the head?
I am not. But, and then.
He doesn't kill.
And just, I mean, here's
yeah,
just
but
some.
Make somebody an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. But, like, I have a lot of clutter behind the counter because I really don't have any place to put it. I have a ton of shelving space in the back that's filled up with lead figures. Lead figures are pretty much slowed to nothing.
Yeah.
So, why am I storing all these lead figures there when I could use that space for clutter? So just little things like that, but you know what? On some of these action figures, you know, like he was talking about that zombie one, you know, I'd be better off with $5 in my pocket than having that sitting on the shelf for another 6 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like, be drastic, but get it out, because it's not doing you any favors. And it got me thinking of that about overstock, about backstock, about extra, you know, the trades. You know, I'm going to run a report of trades that I've had in the store for over 5 years that I've never sold a copy of. So, and I bet there's going to be a lot, and it's going to be a case. That's why I did the alphabet sale to try to get people looking at that stuff, but now I can use the dump. I can use tables, although I'm not a fan of white boxes on tables. It's effective in some cases. It's the only one.
On table. Do something else.
Well, no, but it's an easy way to do it, because how else do I display trades? To be able to, you know, for...
What about...
I mean, you could buy the fancy boxes just for those displays.
No. I'm not worried about that.
No, but I mean, you know, what about...
But no, I just mentally have to get past that thing. And I don't think you guys as customers have a problem with long boxes on tables.
No,
you know what
honest,
it means.
I said this earlier. When I first started coming here, you had the dollar boxes out on tables.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
Because I tried so many new series and new characters that way. That's...
I tried to get rid of it, and I got rid of them because reading and hearing so much about, oh, you know, comic stores are getting away from back issues and, you know, trying to be more merchandise friendly and trying to order in more of the little tchotchkes and things like that. That was the whole point of the rolling racks, was to have those tchotchkes, stuff like that. It just didn't really pan out. So just making changes.
Right, but like I'll use Flash as a good example. I never would have picked up an issue of Flash, mm-hmm. but you had... And it was the new 52 run. You had like the first 8 issues or whatever in the dollar box.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got that and then started picking up the series. Had that not been there, I never would have gotten it. You know, now we're 52 issues in plus Rebirth plus all the back issues I bought.
Yeah.
You know, you made your money back by having that white box out there.
So I want to fix that. Like the back of the store is a disaster back there. Get that. But, you know, just taking a little more, it's fine.
What
not
is
anybody's
that shelf
way.
Right there for?
Which?
The white shelf. What is
the white shelf? Here is the theme of the white shelf. It is prose books. The whole theme is that Nick moved to Cleveland, and he knew that those bookshelves would not survive a move, so he gave them to me. So he gave me these two thin 18-inch bookshelves.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to fit perfectly right there. Also over there happened to fit perfectly on the other side. No real plan for them. It just fit, and literally it holds the cable box. That is the only plan behind that. And then it kind of became a place for all the prose novels just to keep them separate. Nothing sells off of it. Nobody can get to it. I did clean this out. Those are just the extra previews because this was getting
clogged.
And then Adam put an empty short box there. I don't know quite know why. But yeah, that's the theme of that is just prose novels. Yeah.
There's water.
That's all. Yeah. It just
seems like a graveyard of stuff.
It is. It is, but it, I mean, I'm not really a prose novel type place, but I mean, there's a lot of them, you know, it's comic related
stuff. Like the Kirkman Walking Dead prose.
Well, books. Those are over there, but yeah.
Okay, they were over there one time.
But, I mean, you know, there's a Fables novel, there's Gaiman novels, stuff, but yeah. But just time to move stuff around, clear some statues out that have had too many birthdays here, and, you know, make it really affordable. You know, here, please take this home. You know, just... So, that's... Please. Little things like that, and that just really... it just got me thinking, which is good, and it kind of reinvigorated me. It was funny, I had a real good conversation with Tom, customer... Actually, I ran into out in San Diego. He does a lot of traveling. He was out at the Fan Expo, actually, up in Toronto. And just talking to him about changing, and he actually tweeted, he said, it was nice seeing me reinvigorated and excited. And it's like, yeah, I feel good coming back. And like I said, you know, I took four long boxes home to Price on Labor Day because I realized I'm not getting them done here. There's only so much time in the day, but I knew I'd be sitting at home doing nothing. So why not? I over there right beside you, that's an entire box of bags I colored over the weekend.
Why don't you pay your kid like a nickel?
I could. He does like 10 and then gets bored. So
that's only 50 cents. That ain't
but I'm just saying. So it's just he gets bored with it.
Sure, so is an action figure
right now,
for Xbox. I mean,
right now I'd rather he did his homework. So and plus football's taking up a lot of time for him, which is good. But and then the second one I went to, well, I went to a couple others, they were for me. But the other one that really got me going was the social media one. And the one thing he said was, this is John Dudas from up at Carolyn Johns in Cleveland, who I know, which is fun how we met. Because, you know, normally there's a, you know, where are you from? Oh, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, you know. And that's actually when he came up to me out there, he went, hey, Pittsburgh, yeah. We were in the same round table at Comics Pro in Atlanta. The first year in Atlanta, I think. Yeah, the first year in Atlanta. And it was him, me, and one other kid who was a manager of somebody's store and was just obnoxious and was criticizing the publishers as we're sitting there. Oh, that book didn't sell. I don't know why, but, you know, and it was just...
Yeah.
We were just getting really aggravated with this guy. And it kept being, you know, you sit between him and me or I'm going to kill him. Because John's also a firefighter and, you know, just not rough, but, you know, just, you know, a guy who would, you know, I'm tired of you, I'm going to punch you in the face. So we just kind of got to, you know, through that experience. But now, I mean, I've been to his store and just a real nice guy. And just listening to him talk little things, like, I don't know if you saw in the email, I put what's going on and then at PGH Comics. And he's like, make a hashtag and put it in all your posts. And then your customers will start responding. And they'll start saying, look what I found using your hashtag. And all of a sudden, not that you're trending so much, but it becomes a thing. And it's, you know, on social media, it's all about just being a thing. Mm-hmm. So just kind of making a point, you know, I'm posting a lot of stuff on Instagram that posts to Twitter and Facebook. And I can't believe the likes I'm getting. And they're like, it doesn't have to be important. It just has to be engaging. Get customers to share. And, oh, gosh, all of a sudden then their friend sees they like this. I didn't know there was a comic book store there, and all of a sudden you're spreading your message for free.
It's exponential, not doing anything. Advertising.
Yeah. So,
I like the Vertigo post.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things. I'm like, I would talk about it on here. I'd never write it anywhere in the store. It would Josh would put it at the top of the thing.
Okay, so I'm gonna be honest here right now.
Yes.
I haven't looked at one of these in a while.
Okay.
Because I couldn't stand the newsletter.
Fair enough.
Previously. So I didn't, when you mentioned you made changes,
okay.
I hadn't seen it yet until this moment. This is a huge improvement.
Thank you.
Over your previous newsletter. A huge improvement.
Now, for the newsletter specifically, it got me thinking that, now, I'll be honest, I cribbed a lot of the format from the Acme one.
That's fine.
But it got... What,
you're allowed to steal formatting.
Only one person can invent the wheel, but everybody uses
it. Well, it's just a format thing, but my email...
Quick links, Jason at pointport.edu.
I did not put that in. That must have just gone to you. So somehow I put the wrong thing in there. No.
I hope it's my work email address.
No, it's not. I promise you.
The podcast.
I promise you. Well played.
You will cut that part out of the podcast, right?
I'll try to remember that.
I'm about to drop some words now to make you go back and edit it anyways.
Don't do that. Don't do that. But no, I'm just going to show you my copy. Oop.
It's the copy that has your email address.
Well, he's posting as me now on the
website. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But what happened was I wanted to make this change, and I was trying to pull up the last... yeah, see, it's not. That one has mine.
Okay.
I was trying to put my email address in it, and I must have done something.
I'll fix that. Relax.
J. Smith. Nobody could ever figure that one out.
I don't know where I work at.
Fair enough. Well, I don't know why you said it.
Because I forgot we were being recorded.
Like, wow, it's so casual. You're so comfortable here now.
That's the first rule of life anymore. You're always being recorded.
That's true.
But as I was going to do it, I wanted to... Because I knew that the company that does it for me... Because they made that, and I've just been updating it. But they had different things in it. I wanted to check, and I was trying to click on it to open that email. Instead, I clicked open the report of that email, and it showed me how many opens and all this. And then inside it showed me how many times those links that I put in it were clicked. And like the what's coming this week, that one had like 22 clicks. Great. But then every week I would spend, it was over an hour, putting in the title and finding the link to the preview and pasting, and it took a long time. And I looked, and it was like 1000002000, and I think there were like a total of like 11 clicks. And I'm like...
And it's probably all the same person.
Well, maybe all the same person, but also, you know, most of them are on CBR. Some of them I had to dig to find, you know, I mean, Google search, not that complicated, but it was on different sites. And I just kind of realized, so I'm wasting an hour, and nobody cares. So in this one, in the new one, I highlighted a couple of them. And then if you scroll, keep going there. One of them goes to the website, the other one goes to that previews page, and you can click on it, and a lot of them have previews that you can read right there.
Okay.
So, yeah, and this way I can give a little bit, because I realized I was doing nothing for news and stuff. Also, sitting there, it made me mad thinking about the two whiteboards that never have anything on them.
When do you build this newsletter?
I did this one, like, Saturday or Sunday night.
Okay. Never mind.
Why?
Unless you should put a link to the picks of the week, but they're not...
Yeah,
by the time
yeah.
You...
Well, I could. I mean, I could fix it because I didn't send it out till 3 o'clock on Tuesday when Constant Concept said was the best time to send it. But I was done with it. It was probably Sunday night that I was completely done.
No, but
done.
The picks aren't done until like
right. But I can put a link to that and just change the link. Oh. It doesn't send until Tuesday afternoon if people get their picks in time.
I just thought of like. Dave just got busy. He's not sending with mine. And then he sent the email like late in the day Tuesday. I'm like, he knows it never gets posted this late. Except for one time I forgot altogether.
Yeah, but that's...
But, yeah,
I felt bad.
I was messed up because...
The holiday threw you off. No, Dave wasn't...
Well, hitting the sauce. I see.
I was thinking it was Labor Day. I was thinking it was Monday instead of Tuesday. And
you woke up. It's the Bunny Ranch.
Yes.
Yep.
But, yeah, just got me thinking.
Out of $500.
Put more on the website, do more on Instagram, do more on all this stuff. I figure out what the heck.
Was a hat.
I got to figure out what the heck Tumblr even is. But they did send me an email saying, congratulations, you had 5 posts on there. So I was.
You know
what
you should really be doing some advertising?
Where?
Tinder.
No. So, yeah, it just got me invigorated. So that part was good. Publisher presentations, interesting. Actually, yeah, I can go through my notes on these. Started off well, went downhill.
Marvel was there?
Oh, it was cool. It was really cool. The first night, so I got there Wednesday. The opening reception was at 6. It was at the Jeppy Museum. And then the game was at 7. So I wanted to go. I had got a ticket for the Orioles game. It was free, but it was just fun.
You and your pal Dennis?
Me and my pal Dennis. So I go in, and it was funny. First, I kind of knew where I was going, and all of a sudden there was like this trail of people following me. I was like the Pied Piper, which was kind of funny walking over from the hotel there, because a lot of people didn't know where they were, you know, where it was. Dan, I met up with, or was it Jermaine? No, it was Jermaine I met up with, and we walked over. And David Gabriel, Senior Vice President of Sales for Marvel, sees me, waves, which I thought was really, you know, just from a recognition from doing the Comics Pro thing, which I thought was really cool. And then later on when we got in there, I went to shake hands with Phil, who did the metrics thing, and he was talking to Dan DiDio, and Dan turned and said, "Hey!" Shook my hand. Probably didn't remember my name, but again, recognized the face, which was cool. But it was neat how many people came up to me to say hi. You know, just, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah.
Felt really, really, really good, I have to say.
You're somebody important.
I am, yeah. So it felt good. And then sitting at the baseball game, it was funny because we were, you know, nosebleed, $12 seats. It wasn't anything special, way left field, but it was fine. But you go in and, you know, the lady's like, "You by yourself?" I'm like, "Yeah." And it wasn't close to being sold. You know, it was a third full. She's like, "Well, here, you sit here." It was like right after you come through the entranceway and then sitting right there. And then Chad Ciccone came and sat next to me, recognized me from the back of my head. I'm like, "I don't know what that means." and then John Dudas came up to me, Joe Field. So it was just, you know, it was just nice, you know, all these people that I do know, but, you know, kind of what I feel are important people. Joe Field created Free Comic Book Day, had a store for, I think, well over 20 years out in California. Dennis was there, but Dave from Diamond.
Your selfie buddy?
My selfie buddy. So it was fun in that regard. But news, so, well, that one wasn't that great. Did that one. Sorry. There we go. DC, it was funny. DC stepped up early because there was an announcement that was going to be made, and they didn't want it spoiled for us. They didn't want us to think they were hiding. But that Justice League Suicide Squad thing was going to be announced later that day, so they gave us a heads up on that. Excited. Williamson writing it. Ivan Rice drawing it. 6-part weekly series plus some one shots, and then they said some lost characters are being reintroduced. Some characters that did not appear in New 52 are coming back. So that was nice. They're also going to be next February starting another round of rebirths. Not Superman rebirth again, but new titles coming in.
How did they say how big the scope is on?
No, not yet. They talked a little bit about Young Animal. Which I am very, very excited about.
Well, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, Comics for Dangerous Humans, and it's Gerard Way's baby. So I'm very excited. That starts next week, and I just am getting more and more excited about it.
Yeah, Doom Patrol comes out next week, right?
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you I wanted that.
Okay, no problem. I have plenty. You have to decide which cover you want. There's 5 covers. I made it tough to order. But first 3 issues of all the Young Animal books are going to be returnable.
It's like
you can't read that first 3 issues.
I thought that was a
returnable.
I thought that was a B. Okay. I'm like, first bison.
He had his first bison.
Don't sigh. I bet Henry too.
Hanna-Barbera was a real neat thing. What they said, that was Diane Nelson's baby. Diane Nelson, the head of DC, nobody really, because she came over, she was the Harry Potter person, and so she wasn't really a comic person, whatever. She's the one that secured the rights to the Hanna-Barbera stuff. Mm. Basically went to DC and said, "Have fun."
Well, I don't get how it's securing rights are all owned by the same company.
Warner Brothers.
Well, whatever, but she got, or whatever, she, but it, basically it was her baby to take to DC to say, do what you want. So that was fun. Jetsons, there's a new Jetsons book with Palmiotti and Connor. And then he mentioned Dastardly Muttley, and people, you know, made comment. He's like, if Garth Ennis comes to you and says he wants to do a book, you say yes.
Wow.
That's why he's doing a Dastardly Muttley. He came to them wanting to do it.
How'd that work out with All-Star Section 8?
We got a second series, you know, so I'm guessing it did okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, keeping Garth
unless,
in DC...
Unless it's one of those things where no matter what he says, we just say yes to it.
Well, I mean, it might be, but hey, again, after
it sold 5 copies and had horrible reviews, we'll do more.
After rereading Preacher, I'm okay with that. Flashpoint, they said, is going to go through the Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow, so they told us make sure we stock up on that. Court of Owls is appearing in Gotham Season 3. I know you don't care, but again, that's going to tie in with the books.
Pat cares. You care, right, Pat?
Okay.
You hear me watch that?
No.
The edge of your seat? You don't mind.
The edge of something.
Cut it off the DVR. I might cut S.H.I.E.L.D. off, too. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, another thing they mentioned, they're going to be doing a Direct Currents, a little preview book. It's going to be quarterly, but it's going to be talking about... it's. When they did that rebirth book, they had like the articles and stuff up in the front.
Yeah.
It's going to be that, but they're going to do it quarterly. And it's going to be a freebie for us to give out. So that was cool. Hang on, let me see. There was nothing really super exciting after that. I took too many notes.
Anything interesting about diamond and damages?
Yeah.
Far bad.
Yeah. And then sadly it becomes what it typically is. Oh, these are the people that did the presentations with nothing exciting.
I did hear about a sequel book.
To
Claws.
Yep.
This is a one shot, but I'll take it.
Oh, it's just a one shot?
It's an oversized one shot or something. Yeah, for 40 pages for.
Are they gonna put it in with a bigger Catwoman issue that's written by the person who was the creator of Vegetative Injustice? Is that what they're gonna do? Because that would be effing horrific.
Oh wow, that's all the notes I have. Marvel basically went up and said it's been a great year. Trade comic sales and trade sales are through the roof. Everybody kind of looked at each other like, okay.
Well, we know who caused all that.
Well, and it was funny, as I was looking on my phone, I'm like, trade sales are through the roof, and I looked a couple things, but one was the Secret Wars hardcover, because the paperback just came out this week, but it was the Secret Wars hardcover. I'm like, at $50, who's selling these? Oh, Amazon at $34.99. So, and who's buying Squirrel Girl? Well, the people buying it for $9.99 on Amazon. So they might be selling,
just not through us.
Through
direct market.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be able to offer 37% off everything, but no. I need to keep the lights on. No offense. I know. And they also said that Champions already has orders over 300,000.
Did you yell,
prove it? Into which I did not.
Luke Crane?
That's kind of the consensus.
But here's the thing, though. I don't get how it could be Luke Crane if we didn't see 4001 AD show up high on those charts. Remember, it was in Loot Crate.
But maybe the Marvel Crate is different because it's theirs. It's not Loot Crate. It's the Marvel Crate.
Why would one be
but there's no
sales on others?
300,000 is 150 per store.
But with all those, is it returnable?
No, it's a $5 book.
It doesn't make sense. Like, I get why, you would think Loot Crate. Just doesn't make sense that only their stuff is showing up these huge numbers, but not other books that are in Loot Crate.
Well,
but again, it's not Loot Crate.
But
it's Marvel Crate. But I'm just saying, because it's in house, maybe they're playing with the numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say, are the numbers self-reported or are the numbers reported?
Yeah,
well, this was him saying it, so I don't know.
Someone wouldn't have caught on to that.
But I don't see. The numbers for number two are going to be very telling.
25,000.
It's going to be more than that, but it's not going to be 300,000. But I just think there's the definite playing with numbers. There's just no... I mean, it's 150 per store, and that's based on 2,000 stores. So if I'm ordering 15...
Who else is ordering 135.
Right, that's what I mean. And there can't be that many stores that are ordering 1,000, like Dennis.
Yeah.
So I just don't know...
But he wanted that 1 in 1,000.
But still, 1,000 out of 300... one store ordering 1,000 doesn't really sway the numbers. There's not 200 stores ordering 1,000. And then... 800 stores ordering less, or 1,800. But, So that one was met with a bit of an eye roll. Definitely came back stoked and excited about what's going on this weekend, not to jump the gun and everything, but I figured I'd get this out there first. Monday, I turned 10 years old, or the store turned 10 years old, which is pretty cool.
This past Monday you did?
This past Monday.
Hey, congrats.
September 5th. But didn't, having it on Labor Day was... Yeah. But it was, I opened the Tuesday after Labor Day, 2006. Sold two long boxes.
Filled or just the boxes?
Just the boxes.
And cried.
No, I was thrilled. Because it's funny, if you've never done something like this, you kind of open the door and go, I hope somebody comes, because... You don't really
know.
You don't know. I mean, it's like, opening a restaurant. I hope people come to eat here. There's ways they can do it, handing out coupons and things like that. This was literally opening the door and hoping people came. So, But you have been coming for 10 years. So, to say thank you...
Everything's free that day?
Everything is not free that day, because that would be the going out of business sale.
Right.
But on Saturday, we will be having a little celebration. We'll be there'll be lots of sales. Don't ask for details yet, because I haven't figured it out. And everybody always asks me, I'm like, why do you think I think of this stuff when we're in?
I would just simply say, why would I tell you now and cause you not to buy stuff all week long?
Well, to be honest, that happened today. Today, I think, was a really kind of lame Wednesday because a lot of people are going to come Saturday.
That's kind of asinine. I mean,
well, instead of coming out twice, you know, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, your normal books, if I'm going to spend $40 in books, it's not going to be less on Saturday because all those new books aren't discounted anyway.
Right.
Especially come down now and get go through the variant stuff.
Yeah,
on Saturday,
well,
I'll be there. So anyway, I got some additional news. The Booster Gold movie, which I didn't even know Booster Gold was getting a movie, but he apparently is. And they're saying Greg Berlanti, who is the producer of Supergirl and The Flash,
well, is going to
be directing it.
Really?
Sure. Yeah.
Huh.
But it's not going to connect to the DCEU. Okay. It's going to be a standalone kind of movie, which... Okay, great.
Wait, it's not going to connect to... Like
Batman vs. Superman, Justice
really?
League. Yeah.
That's an interesting choice. If I had to guess, I bet they would make it so it's not connected, but it could be if they decided...
Yeah, like...
Always successful.
Yeah, throw some Easter eggs in there, sure, you know, just...
Like Guardians of the Galaxy, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It could be connected to other DC movies, but they don't have to reference anything you know, in the Booster Gold movie.
I guess the way they could do it is maybe do something with, like, Core Industries, and then if it does really well, then in whatever movie comes out next, mention Core Industries and kind of retcon connect them. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then the other thing, and I'm bringing this up just to mock Colin... You know what it is, Colin?
No.
The director of the original 1966 Batman movie, Leslie Martinson, died.
Oh, okay.
At 101.
Wow. What a shame.
It's too old.
That's too old.
Maybe she could have made it to 105.
Actually, it was a he.
He? Oh, I'm sorry. Leslie. I'm sorry. That's an assumption.
Okay. Leslie Nielsen?
I understand, but... You hear the name Leslie, wouldn't you? Okay.
I think of guys normally. I mean, yeah. I recognize the girls, but normally I think of a guy, so Leslie.
You think of guys? Interesting.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Do you like gladiators?
Jeez.
Yes, exactly.
Ever been to a Turkish prison?
I thought you were a sensitive sore.
Picked the wrong day to stop sniffing lube.
Anyway, go ahead.
That's all your news? Okay. But just getting back to the celebration. So, and I was sitting there kind of trying to figure out, okay, because last year I did the Chinese auction. I think it was well received. People were excited. Some people didn't get what they wanted, but.
I had my Wonder Woman stuff.
Oh, you got. Okay, no, that was
didn't
something else you didn't get. Oh, no, you were the Valiant.
Yeah,
the that's
Valiant
right. You didn't,
oh,
that's right.
About that.
Sorry.
What? The prize box?
Yeah.
Oh. But the guy that got it was really excited about it. So.
Yeah, that's fine. There was the Exo Man of War omnibus in there. That was what I wanted.
Yeah. That would have been nice.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, just asked my son how practice was. We ran so much. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm like, oh, get some of that. Da, da. And then it dawned on me, wait, I'm getting all these goodies here in Baltimore. So why not give away the goodies that I'm getting? So I know there's a copy of Animosity from Aftershock, number one, that's supposed to... Somebody said it was going for $200 online.
Is that the one that came out today and it was the...
No, Alters was today.
Okay, because I saw someone was bitching about a store down in North Carolina commissioned a cover.
Right, but they assumed that they wrote the book. And that they'll never let their daughter shop there because she'll be attacked in the bathroom. And the guy's like, okay, what does this have to do with our bathroom that we did a variant cover? I have Jeff Lemire and Scott Snyder are doing a book called AD After Death. And I got a preview copy of that signed by both of them.
Oh, nice.
Charles Soule is doing a book called Curse Words. with Ryan Brown, who did God Hates Astronauts, and I have a preview copy of that signed by Charles Soule.
You can get a date gratuitous for a book called Curse Words.
Charles Soule had one of the best presentations. He was fantastic. Him and Eric Powell were awesome. I have a signed Eric Powell Hillbilly number one variant. Charles Soule's like, okay, here's what we're doing. And he told us, and it's about a wizard named Wizord. And blah, blah, blah. And there's a koala in there. And he said in this panel, koala's shrugging, just because he wanted to see what a koala shrugging looked like. So he had a big picture of the shrugging koala. He said, I'm going to go out. I'm going to get a van. And we're going to paint Wizord on the side. And we're going to drive it around to all your stores. And we're going to do, you know, a big promotional tour. He's like, maybe. I don't know. We're throwing things out there. So he was a lot of fun doing that. So
Charles Soule shows up with a wizard.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome. So I tweeted, a customer tweeted that he got it signed, thanks to both of them, and I responded back and I said, "Wizard, custom van, shrugging koalas, best book ever." And then Ryan Brown responded back, and I responded back again to him and Charles Soule, basically saying, at Charles Soule said lots of nice things about you, and he responded. So it was fun. It was fun meeting him. It was nice meeting Charles Soule and just saying, you know, as a former attorney, I'm having a lot of fun watching you and what you're doing. Talked to Scott Snyder, and hopefully we'll get him back on the podcast here. So that was neat. But yeah, lots of stuff. I don't even know, honestly, what all's in there. I didn't really look at all the stuff. So a couple companies gave you just a bag, so I don't know exactly what all is in there, so I do need to look through it. But I'll be giving all that stuff away, and then I'll find, you know, some stuff that's been here too long, some things I think, you know, that I have multiple copies of. I don't necessarily need, you know, four copies of that particular Batman statue, so. But we'll do another Chinese auction. Spend X amount, get a raffle ticket. I think people enjoyed it. It's fun, since I put all the variants out, people have been finding variants and going, are you sure you want this in there? Josh did it with a Daymen number one that's signed by Brian Stelfreeze and some other guys.
I put out, there's three signatures. I was like,
yeah,
should this be in this box
right now? Well, it was in just one of the... And then someone also found a Fight Club number one signed by Chuck Palahniuk. So we'll give that away.
Tim found that.
Okay, yeah, so we'll give that away. So, I mean, it's going to be worth your while to come down. You know, I'm giving you things. So, and also, there will be sales. I'm going to say, if you've ever been here during a big sale, you'll have a rough idea of pretty much what's going to be going on. So that's really, yeah, kind of my report. No, if I thought the weather was going to cooperate, but the last time I looked, it said 90 and thunderstorms. So that's not really indicative.
That's not sidewalk sale weather.
And right now, honestly, with the tables, I think I'm pretty much set. I wouldn't want to... It would be a lot of work to come up with stuff to go outside. So basically in the store, I've added 2 8-foot tables. One is all the variants that I've accumulated over the years that I was putting on eBay and have come off eBay unsold, and I just have them all out for $5 a piece. Two people pulled out $75 variants out of there today.
Tim said I grabbed a $100 one.
Which one? Well, that's clearly wrong, and we'll have to rectify that. Oh, yeah. Well, the gold. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other side...
It doesn't sell for $100 on eBay. It's like, I think last time I saw them were like $30.
Yeah. So, but...
But still.
Yeah. I got them free for going to a meeting. So, you know, you got it for $5. You're happy. I'm happy. Everybody's happy. Yeah, it's a cover effect, so... But then the other side, a customer, well, not even a customer, just a guy has been bringing in books, and I think he might be tapped out, but he was bringing like 4 boxes every Thursday. I think he lost his job, and he was just getting rid of what he didn't need anymore. I'm assuming he was probably told by someone to do that. And it's, you know, stuff I've been trying to get priced, and Tony's been putting away some of it, but it's like, okay, well, I have 12 priced boxes that are now sitting in a pile waiting to get filtered in. Why don't I just put them out? So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's loosely organized. I mean, it's organized the way he had it organized. It's not really organized, but... It
hangs my OCD.
Yeah, I hear you, but how much time is it going to take to...
No,
to alphabetize all that. So, it just threw them out there.
I told you, I just got a little ticked off because I saw Bat, number 4, New 52, got excited, pulled it out. I was like, oh, it's Batgirl, damn it.
I can fix that for you. I got a pen.
Yeah, that's
not good. So
one book I missed.
I know.
And it's been years.
Oh, but and again, talking about the Vertigo this month, September is Vertigo. I did it because of Doom Patrol. And so all Vertigo's trades are on sale, and I'm like, well, gosh, on Instagram I've been posting a Vertigo trade and the blurb about what it's about every day, just to say, hey, you know, here's the Vertigo sale.
Mm-hmm.
You might like this one. You might like that one. So it's just something fun just to do a little more, you know, interactive, make people think, you know, something they might not have thought about. So it's kind of fun coming up with a new one every day. I shouldn't have trouble doing 30 of them, so it should be pretty simple.
What's tomorrow?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out when he gets here.
Today was Hellblazer, Volume 1. So far, granted, I didn't start till Monday, I guess. I did Doom Patrol, I did Animal Man, and then I did
Hellblazer.
Because I'm trying to think of original Vertigo.
Around the table, Pat, what would your Vertigo pick be? Dave, you better be thinking about it. You're up next.
I'm up. I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back.
Animal Man, Grant Morrison's run, 1 through 26. That's, like, my favorite run of all
time. Did that one.
Right, that's
time.
Okay.
I'm
that's
sorry,
okay.
But that's like,
the one
my
I guess,
favorite series
does it,
of all
does it have
time.
To be old Vertigo? Or
no, but see, I'm starting
okay.
with, like...
That could be any Vertigo.
Tomorrow, here's what tomorrow's going to be. It's going to be Shade the Changing Man, because that's getting a new Young Animals book. That's what I'm trying to do. But it doesn't have to be old Vertigo, not at all. It could be brand new Vertigo. It could be Sheriff of Babylon.
That's what
yeah.
I was thinking, Sheriff of Babylon.
So... Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much. It can be, you know, Fables would be one day, 100 Bullets, Sandman. Exactly. So, but it's like, why not just put something out there and then people can respond? People, you know, on Facebook, oh, I love that book, and you get people talking. And, like I said, the one good thing is, you know, somebody will respond to that, and gosh, then their friend sees their response, you know, it pops up in their feed. And,
Sweet Tooth. That's
yeah,
mine.
There you go. So it's just, yeah, there's a lot of ways to go. And, I, you know, I should have done it when I did Vertigo, or, I mean, Valiant. And it's just, I got to get better, more attentive.
Well, you can't live in the past, so...
What?
Can't live in the past.
Right, right. No, no. But I'm going to definitely try to be better going forward. That's my goal. So it's funny, and a lot of people say, yeah, I did notice you were getting a little commit. It's like, if you see me, just yell at me. I don't mean to, but sometimes it is...
You.
It is... It gets to an overwhelming point, and you kind of, and I personally shut down.
Maybe it's like, how we poke.
Yeah, yelling at me isn't
nice. I don't
think
I've ever raised my voice.
Yeah, when have we ever yelled?
Oh, not
at you?
Yelling, but
that got awkward.
No, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I was no, my son.
He's a. I'm sorry.
No. I was responding to my son needing me to help him with his homework.
Time for silent contemplation.
No, yes.
Segment of the podcast.
So, in lieu of reading any books for last week, because I did not read a single book from last week. It was a really light week of books. B, I knew there was no point in taking anything to Baltimore. There was no time to read them. And then actually when I got back, I was going to stop by and grab some stuff to read, but actually instead I grabbed Bags to Color and Books to Price and realized I could be a little more productive. Yeah. But next week, well, good. I read 8 books from this week last night, so
nice.
I got a real good start. And I was hand-selling.
Did you put notes down?
No, not yet. But I really liked Glitter Bomb number 1 that came out this week, and I was really hand-selling it in the store, and people were liking what they were hearing. I sold a bunch of them that way, which is cool because I haven't done enough of that. And I thought Batman and Superman were spectacular. But in lieu of talking
they're
about
real
books,
and they're spectacular.
They were fantastic. Yes, thank you, Josh. I decided I did a rant. There was something I saw. Well, I would have talked about it last week on the podcast, but I wasn't here. And it, just because it made me mad, and so I actually sat down and wrote notes. I don't know, following the best I can.
Rant.
Collins rant. Basically, what happened was David F. Walker is the.
Collins grinding on the podcast now.
Hang on. Sorry. Let me stop. Hang on. I'm just going to text from the wife.
Instead of Tinder, we know what an app of easy.
Collins checking his phone right now. Make sure things are good at home.
So anyway, David F. Walker, who wrote Cyborg, and he wrote The Chef.
Why are we calling him with his middle initial now?
That's how he writes as David F. Walker.
I could have sworn he's always credited as David Walker on the books.
Like maybe it's on Shaft. He's one. It's David F. Walker.
Well,
with
Shaft.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
It's just
doing this winner for Shaft.
Could they?
So he did some tweets talking about how Nighthawk was, or is it Nighthawk? Yeah, Nighthawk was canceled, and in a roundabout way, but not totally roundabout, kind of blaming retailers for low orders, and saying, you know, it's there's some stuff about the system and people don't like good books, and he has two of the highest reviewed books with that and Shaft, and you know, why did they, you know, not selling well?
A lot of stuff on the shelves these days.
Well, and then that's where my whole thing was. And I said, just in my notes here, his mistake is not understanding the market. His books aren't coming out in a vacuum. Shaft could have been the greatest book ever, but who's it marketed to? If you're now, is he? What is his main job?
I don't know.
I mean, is he a novelist or a movie guy?
He's written novels.
Okay, so that's what I thought, because I want to say, if you wrote a Shaft novel and put it on you put it on the stands, do you think it's going to be the number one New York Times best-selling book? No, because it's such a niche audience.
I bet if it's a sexy novel, it would be.
Maybe.
No, but that's...
Like Shades of Grey, but with Shaft?
Yeah.
50 Shades of Shaft.
But, yeah, what...
You're damn right. Dig it, Dave.
But my problem with Nighthawk is he wrote it as this alternate version.
What's the podcast name?
What?
50 Shades of Shaft. We are determining it today.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Hang on. Jeez. You're messing me up now.
We're doing to you what you do to Dave.
No problem.
Even you're not here.
That's the more amazing thing, is he doesn't even have to be
this
here.
Time, like, I,
wasn't that good? I thought that
I've
was
never,
cool.
I've never felt Dave's more like there's right a camera now in this store than that moment.
Yeah.
But basically what I was saying about Nighthawk is I'm like, he wrote Nighthawk as an alternate version of Batman and got into social and political stuff. And I'm like, well, that's great, but you're not understanding what Nighthawk is to me as a retailer. And for me, it's a spinoff of a spinoff of an event book miniseries. So it's because there was Squadron Sinister during Secret War, and then that spun Squadron Supreme spun out of that. So it's not standing on its own. It's not like, oh, this Nighthawk character is great. No, you're targeting people who I'm looking at. If I'm selling 11 copies of Squadron Supreme and I'm selling 6 copies of Hyperion, well, 6 is probably my number. He's wondering why I didn't order 50. Well, because it's not standing on its own. And I think doesn't understand that. You know, when you're doing a book that's derivative of something else, and what is he doing to push that book to everyone?
But it's such a set. So I'll take the two books of his that I've read. Shaft. I like blaxploitation movies. I enjoy those movies from the 70s. So to me, that was right up my alley. If I was 17 years old, whatever. But I'm at the right age to where I remember watching those movies on TV, and I remember seeing it. So it appealed to me. And it was a decent book, don't get me wrong, but I'm kind of a outlier for something like that. And then Cyborg, which was the last one. That book sucked. I'm sorry.
We both gave it a solid chance, too. Like, you gave it more of a chance than I did. I read for 3 issues. I think you stayed on for
4 or 5.
A little while,
yeah. Yeah, I think I stayed on for 5, and it just never got good. And what was funny was
it was never awful. It just wasn't that.
But it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I specifically got it because he wrote it, because I enjoyed Shaft.
You're a big fan of Shaft, yeah.
And it just, it did not hold my interest. The alternate title.
Pat likes the Shaft?
Right. Loves it.
No, I get it, and I, his name isn't big enough to carry weight on its own.
No.
So you're not going to say, oh, it's a new David F. Walker book. I'm in, you know, because Cyborg didn't do well. Shaft did.
But that's, had I not read Shaft, I probably wouldn't have read Cyborg. But because I like this other stuff,
I don't think Shaft sold because it was David F. Walker. I think Shaft sold because it was Shaft.
Yeah.
But even there, you gotta, you know, there are certain areas where Shaft is going to sell pretty well.
Right. If McMurray, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's not really one of them. I mean, you know, let's just
why.
Do I need to get into the socioeconomics of this area?
Same reason Squirrel Girl doesn't sell well for me. I don't
where
have
would
a,
that sell at?
No, a college town.
Oh, yeah.
Say, where
I need lots of young female readers that I just, I don't have the demographic.
I work at a university. I just, I don't think that's a...
Right, but I'm just saying, anyone. But I think that's where that's more targeted.
Well, okay, what about Dan? Southside. How does that sell for
you?
Yeah,
I don't know, but I doubt any better than me.
Well, no, because, I mean, he's...
But overall, numbers,
yeah.
But numbers aren't outstanding on it. And then, you know, but then it's getting buzzed because, what's her name from Pitch Perfect is talking about wanting to play Squirrel Girl in a movie. It's like, okay, but...
Pitch Perfect?
Anna Kendrick.
Oh, I think you're... didn't Beth from Stranger Things say she wants to...
Yeah, but I think Anna Kendrick has a little more cachet.
Yeah, but Beth looks like her Barb, yeah.
Yeah.
No, she's gonna be. No one remembers her.
Yeah,
she's gonna be Ethel.
Oh, that was one other thing I wanted to say because I warned Dan about this, and it played out exactly. The Marvel presentation played out exactly as I had warned him.
Okay.
Where he talked about said things are great, and then they played us the Doctor Strange trailer and the Luke Cage trailer. It's like, what do either of those have to do with me? They're nice, but A, I've seen them before, and B.
New trailers?
No. And it's, why aren't you telling me about what I need to know about what you have coming up? And, I mean, DC talked to us about stuff
but
coming
they,
up.
They told you that MU is Monsters Unlimited.
Oh, that's right. They did tell us that. And I remember when I saw that, I just went...
Could you, like, just hear the air?
Oh, yeah. Nobody was like, woo! Well, Dennis was, woo! But it was just like... Really? So, a black and white horror anthology.
How
seriously
could you mustered up a woo for that?
You know, one of those really loud clappers. You know, those guys? Oh, yeah! You know, he's one of those guys. And then when DC was talking, it was...
Dave's dying over here.
I'm trying. But that was just my thing about the David Walker. I'm like, you need to understand what's going on. And he's like, oh, you know, Marvel was very supportive. I'm like, really? If Marvel was supportive, Squadron Supreme would have been, you know, they would have been pushing the heck out of that. Instead, it's now tying in with Civil War and, you know, not doing much.
Well, but that's why they're not. There's six events ahead.
But it gets even better. So I sold out of number three. I underestimated the demand for number three. And I reordered it. Guess how many copies I got?
Goose.
That is correct, because it was sold out. So it's like, if I'm trying to increase sales, I can't. So... Where are we going here?
Well, yeah,
so,
I mean, if
like,
your sales of 1 and 2 are 5 and 4, you're not going to order 25
right.
or 3.
So it's just like, it could be the best book in the world. And like Vision, getting huge rave reviews. It's still selling a third of Spider-Man. You know, and I'm getting a lot of, I'll wait for the trade. Great, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I've sold 2 copies of the trade since it's been out, so I'm going to not believe you, you know. Not you, but
no, I'm
you
good.
I'm in general.
That.
So, yeah. So that's all. It just made me annoyed that somebody was blaming us, and I'm like, that's basically what I wrote down. I said, Squadron Sinister sold X. Squadron Supreme sold X minus Y, so it equals Z. Hyperion sold half of Z. How would you order Nighthawk? With your money. You know, sure, it's easy to say, oh, I'll order 25 copies, but if I'm down to selling 4, why would I, you know, of the tie-in book?
Make them returnable. Make them returnable.
But Marvel won't do that.
I know they won't, but it's, make them returnable. And have him personally guarantee the returnability of them. If he's that confident in his product, personally guarantee it.
But, well, that he could. It just reminds me, I was talking to somebody about Aspen. And they're, you know, like, oh, are they always late? I'm like, yeah, they're always late. And it's funny, because a couple of years back, they did a guarantee. They guaranteed these books would ship by the date they had in the previous catalog.
And if they didn't?
That was my point. I said, okay, and if you don't? Well, we guarantee they will. I'm like, and if you miss that date?
Apparently, their lawyer didn't understand guarantee.
What's the guarantee? You're going to refund all my money? Or are you going to, you know, can I send them back?
Date, it'll be late.
Yeah, that's basically what they guaranteed us. And it was just funny. Just the reaction was just, well, what do you mean? I'm like, okay.
2 weeks before the art's supposed to get in, your artist breaks his arm. So now what are you going to do?
The only other thing, there was an Outhousers article that I honestly could not get through. The basic idea behind it, I saw it all over, was that Brian Michael Bendis was asking for make sure people pre-order their books, because that was, you know, an important part to make sure that enough get ordered and that the books survive. And this guy's like, you know, what kind of world is this where it's up to the customer to make sure the books survive and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, having to pre-order to make sure the books get ordered, you know, why is the pressure on them? And, you know, I wish we could go back to the newsstand model where you could just walk in and pick whatever you wanted off the spinner rack. And if they went back to that, books like Nighthawk wouldn't be canceled and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting here reading this just going, you totally don't understand the world, do you? Nighthawk wouldn't exist in that world when you have a spinner rack that has, what, 24 slots? Where's Nighthawk fitting in those 24 slots? Yeah.
Well, maybe it means you don't have 7 Amazing Spider-Man titles.
Right, but I'm saying, but that book wouldn't even exist because, you know, you're limited. And, I mean, when was the last time you went to a newsstand? When was the last time you bought a book, at a grocery store? Right, they're just not there, but...
Airports. College.
Yeah.
I would say college was the last place because there was one in Newark, Delaware. I don't even know if Blue Hand Comics was there, but there was one right on Main Street. And they had comics.
Okay.
But that's...
But, you know, and he was saying, oh, also, you know, in drugstores. I'm like, okay, when was the last time you were in a drugstore? How often are you in a drugstore?
You could buy comics and Rite Aid.
Right. But quarterly, maybe? You know, how often are you in a drugstore? I go there when I need something. You know, Giant Eagle had a spinner rack, but they got rid of it.
I'll go to a drugstore rather frequently, because on the way home, I drive past, it. What's that?
A lot of Sudafed.
Yeah. But yeah, it just struck me as just a ridiculously uninformed article. We're not the enemy, His point was, well, you want to have comics where the most people can see them, not some little niche shop that not every neighborhood has and things like that. I'm like, that's great. Get them out there. But there's a reason they're not in the drugstores, because they weren't selling enough for the drugstore for even that square footage. Like, I remember reading something where as soon as, the corner store realized they could make more money selling sunglasses in that same spot, spinner rack was gone. You know, so, as always, you have to earn your keep. And, you know, it can't be on me to hand sell every book, so. That's all I got. I rants for the day.
So what was, honestly, the general opinion about the MU reveal? Because it felt like they were legitimately
trying to... Nobody talked about it. But I think they were trying to hype it into something much more by, giving all those artists, and then it was just like, seriously?
Calling it MU?
Yeah.
It seemed like their intention to make people think it was Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Monsters, and it was just one of those, what? And even better,
are you poking fun at Rebirth with this?
Maybe, but even worse, so it's Monsters Unlimited, so I'm assuming it's going to involve monsters, correct?
Yeah.
Would you want to have that book come out?
Halloween.
Yeah. So since we're going to be ordering it in October and it'll ship in December, where are we going here? You know, it's just one of those, unless it's in the new previews, which I didn't read yet.
You can't schedule these things, because even, it's not like DC's having their monster thing in September or October.
Hey, look.
Oh, wait.
DC had Green Lantern number 6 get moved all the way to next week.
Oh, that was Now, that was one really kind of fun thing. I did talk with Vince of DC, who's their head of direct market sales. Just a real casual conversation. Out on the floor at Comic-Con before it opened, we were just chatting. And he gave me a heads up on that, and basically, I don't think I'm giving anything away, trade secrets or anything, but
there was a problem.
There was a problem with the cover. It had the wrong cover blurb on it, where on the cover it said start of a new story arc, when actually it was the last issue of the story arc, and somebody in production put the wrong blurb on it, and they got their comps in and all of a sudden realized there was a problem, so they had to reprint it. It's a week late. It's not 3 months late, like Bleeding Cool said. And then I totally love that they posted today saying, oh, well, we said that that date that Diamond had could have been an error. And then I looked back at the original post. Nowhere does it say that. He tried to make something out of nothing, which just really kind of annoying.
I read that article. It didn't make any sense. It absolutely made it sound like it was... Because then the other thing it said was, well, 7, 8, and 9 were shipping on time. And I was well, that doesn't make any sense.
What, if you're going to play with Diamond numbers, and maybe now you can do more on the new preview site, but it should be a disclaimer that the last Wednesday in June and the last Wednesday in December are their default, we have no idea when this is shipping date. So maybe somebody should tell Rich that so that he doesn't try to cause an internet furor when there's absolutely nothing there.
Well, that's what the internet's for.
Yeah, true. True. The other thing we did talk about, I tried to make a point. Well, we're not going to see the rebirth trades until after the first of the year, and the reason for that is not that they're trying to slow down and keep their usual thing. They got to get the new 52 trades out first. They don't want the first Batman trade coming out before the last Batman trade. And then Dark Knight 3 is basically getting an extra issue. And Vince was the one who they wanted to have the box come out with the very first issue for the box sets. And he said, no, let's keep it for the last one in case he decides to add pages to the last issue or something. Well, Frank has actually added an entire another issue. So it was a little victory for Vince because he's like, yay, now I'm not screwed having the wrong size boxes. So so that was good. Frank,
I'm surprised they haven't made the box story. I would have thought by the halfway point.
But I think he was kind of hedging his bets. No, but I think he was hedging his bets. And they probably have it, but now they're going to say, okay, we need these boxes to be another half inch or whatever.
Yeah.
The exciting news for me was that Frank is really into this and really likes doing the mini comics. And now he's going to be inked by Klaus Janson, which it was always a little bit rough. His were a little rough, the inking. Mm-hmm. And I think Klaus will be able to clean that up really nice and make it look really pretty.
I wonder how the image on the side, on the spines.
They'll add a little more white on the edge. It'll be fine. It won't change. Oh, you mean the spines of the books themselves? Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, if it was originally designed all for the image.
Nah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
You have to turn all yours in and you'll get a new set.
The other thing I talked to him about was the rebirths and the ones. And it just was lucky because a dealer there had all the rebirths and ones on a big display, so you could see them one right next to each other. And we just happened to be talking, and I was talking about it, and I didn't realize they were there. And he was looking over. He's like, and I said, you know, since you're doing another round of rebirth books this winter, I said, my only request is take the one off the rebirth. He's like, well, you know, we want to have that one there. I said, I get it. But I said, my problem is I'm having people coming up with Rebirth and 2. And if I don't catch it, realizing they don't have Rebirth 1 and 2, they're going to go home, be confused, and not come back and buy 3. So either take the one off or make it a 0 or do something so that I don't have two books that say Nightwing Rebirth on it and 1.
I get why they want to have the one there.
I do too. I totally understand. But I said it's creating unintentional customer confusion. And whereas Marvel putting a big one on the cover of issue 19 is intentional customer confusion. Yeah. I don't think they did this to be confusing. I think they just wanted a number one because number one sell. But
I'm willing to bet the next waves that look exactly the same, though.
I don't know. They might, since there's plenty of time, I hope he... Because he's up there. So I think he's literally seeing that it said Rebirth Nightwing 1 and Nightwing Rebirth 1 right next to another didn't make sense. And I don't know if they'd looked at him that way, with that eye. I think they looked at him and it made perfect sense to them because they designed it and they knew what they were looking at. But hopefully I just made him look at it a little bit differently and realize that there is a confusion. So, or make the Rebirth banner smaller, you know. Because the Rebirth, like, what do we have over there? Oh, the Cyborg. You know, it's nice, big Cyborg Rebirth, but the others, the Rebirth isn't really, it's a little bit smaller, but...
Well, but yeah, that's a Rebirth Cyborg issue, is an actual
right, Rebirth. Oh, no, but that's what I'm saying. That's Rebirth, but the one right next to it isn't, so hopefully just a little design tweak, and I think we'll fix. I understand wanting a one, but.
Do like the blue current.
So, okay. I think that's officially all I have. And we're not done. You guys get to talk about books. Where are we at? Probably an hour. Hour and 9 minutes.
Right, yeah.
I had none. I read nary a thing.
None.
No, but next week I'm going to kill you guys. I'm going to have like 20.
I will start then. Afterlife with Archie.
I love that book.
That was Josie and the Pussycats.
It was. Yeah,
it was fantastic.
And it was such a different take on Josie and the Pussycats. Yeah.
Okay, I love the book. As a one-shot is great. Yeah, very enjoyable. However, this issue had no business being in the middle of this arc.
Well, no.
It's going to tie in. It's going to tie in.
That's the problem. The first issue after the first escape from Riverdale arc was about Sabrina getting married to Cthulhu, and they've never come back and addressed it, and it looks like that's where they come back and address it. So I think it will tie in. It's just
we're in the middle of an arc that has taken months and months and months and months and months to ship.
Yes.
And now we get an issue that is essentially feels disconnected from the rest of the arc. That's my only problem.
But the first issue felt disconnected from the arc. Because when I first read it, I felt like that should have been part of Sabrina, or it should have been like this should have been its own book. It didn't belong with the Afterlife with Archie stuff.
Yeah.
But the book itself, though, I absolutely love.
I think I would have had, I would have given it more leeway if, what?
I forgot to mention that.
418?
No, just the video.
Oh. You can mention it now real quick.
418 views. Holy crap.
I said the other day you were around 400.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Cool. Just, we did a video of the unboxing of the 4180 time capsule on Saturday. And just, you know, with those Facebook videos you see everybody doing, we decided to video it. So it was just kind of fun. And it popped up in my feed saying, you know, if I want, I can sponsor this and pay them money.
Someone didn't want to do the video.
Yeah. We had to make it. I know. So you guys got to stay on top of me. You know what I mean. Stop it. Keep talking.
We'll motivate you.
Go back. No. Yeah.
So anyways, if this book came out and we had an issue that felt like it continued that what was going on and then from the previous issue and then did this one, it just seemed like, really, it's been like 7 months and now suddenly it's here's this seemingly disconnected issue.
Yeah, and that's the problem with, I guess now it's going to be shipping every other month, that Sabrina will alternate, which sucks.
I've thought about a few times just doing this in trade. And
yeah, but it's going to be a year and a half for the
trade. But just waiting, but that way I can sit down and read the whole arc in one sitting and just enjoy it. Because I feel like right now, while I like these books a lot, I'm not enjoying it nearly as much as I would if I were actually, you know, reading it.
When I first picked it up, because I had missed, I think, the first three issues or four issues, so I picked it up, I think, with book number 6. And read the trade, and it read very well. But so Josie and the Pussycats, or Josie and the Vampire Bats, or
interesting take.
Yeah, Josie
been around since 1906.
She's 110, and originally there was 4 girls, and one of them
married their manager.
Yeah. Which it's not Alexandria Cabot. It was
Buddy.
It seemed like he was her boyfriend, or I don't know. That was a weird thing. Anyway, but she ran.
Yeah, they called him Uncle Buddy.
Yeah, he was the
it's like the
woman who ran the orphanage's boyfriend.
Yeah, but who was Alexandria Cabot? So. You know, she ran an orphanage with the 3 girls, and for a minute there, I was like, man, this is kind of Annie-ish. And then, but the 110-year thing didn't make sense until we find out why she's 110.
Yeah. But it was cool showing how throughout the years they've emerged as different bands and had a different take on their band and different, you know, band leaders. And
each time they say they get popular, but not so popular you remember them.
Yeah.
They go the Rico Suave route.
Go.
Everybody remembers Rico Suave, but no one remembers Rico Suave.
I know, but now they're saying Josie and the Pussycats are bigger than Taylor Swift and Adele and everybody else.
They got too big.
But she said that, too, that it's hard to remain anonymous in the world of the internet.
Yeah, it's a different world. That is true.
Although, it's a really different world because as they're traveling to Riverdale, the zombie outbreak happens. So.
Yeah.
They can't wait to get that.
Yeah.
To see what's going on, yeah.
Well, they're a different kind of undead.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess they would end up starving. I don't think they could eat zombies.
No, they could probably do animals.
They could.
They mentioned animals and synthetics.
Yeah. But she said it's not the same.
But still, you get nourishment, just not enjoyment.
It's like eating tofu burgers. That's the point.
There's hot sauce on there. Lots of hot sauce.
Lots and lots of hot sauce.
Bloodshot Reborn, number 16.
I like that issue a lot.
That was really good. Man, Bloodhound is badass.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah. I knew you were the smart one.
Yeah. But no, this issue we see Bloodshot and Bloodhound try to kind of outsmart the system and find a way to make an escape plan. But Ray's not willing to leave anyone behind. And look, he's starting to get through to Deathmate, who we found out was Kay McHenry, the former Geomancer, who met her demise in the Valiant. But Project Rising Spirit is using... They have a lot more control over her and her aggression and her emotions, so they kind of amped her back up again and continue their tests.
She's almost like she's not Bloodshot 2.0 because Ray is like 3.0.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's
Terminator-esque. Was it
T-1000?
Yeah.
The liquid metal one?
Yeah,
that was T-1000.
What was Arnold's?
T-800.
That's right.
Okay. Well, originally it was a T-800, and then they retconned it and called it something else, but it was originally a T-800.
But yeah, she's very much T-1000 in this. Like, everything
have you seen
gets,
this boy?
Yeah, everything that gets thrown at her, she just kind of walks away from.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this was really good. I think there's one issue left.
That sounds right. And then it goes to Bloodshot USA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is that a new series, or is that...
It's their next event.
Okay.
4-issue miniseries event.
Okay. But it seems like it's a standalone...
It's just like 4001.
Is it?
Was,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty standard for how they do their events, where like a book will lead up to whatever this event, the event theme is going to be, and then it'll spin it off into a 4-issue miniseries. Typically, the main book that led into that will have some sort of tie-ins that aren't necessary, but like with 4001 AD, Rai had those tie-ins that gave the background to different protectors of Japan, but they weren't necessary for the main event.
Yeah, I didn't read Rai, but I got everything.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to do that with Bloodshot Reborn, if Bloodshot Reborn's going to have issues going on alongside Bloodshot USA or not, but I'll be sad if this series ends after that. Jeff Lemire hasn't said if he's doing more or not.
Sure.
I'll slap you. Future Quest, number 4?
Yeah, this was a different kind of issue, and I kind of like how they did it.
It was weird how they did it, because it was essentially three stories, but
yes,
they all kind of just spun into each other.
Yeah, it was... I really liked the one Frankenstein Jr.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good.
That was... you know, I complained about how they did it with Birdman, but I think the way they did it here was right, where it was... It seemed like the first story was kind of a continuation, a true continuation, and then... The others acted as backups that kind of gave you background on characters.
Well, and that main story led into those.
Right, but I mean...
It was like you were reading the main story, and the story's progressing, and then suddenly it, before you know it, morphed into a bit of a, you know, dossier about, you know, certain characters.
Yeah.
While also building out more of the story at the same time, because we saw it with the other Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was done much better than the previous issue. I'm still not loving the book. Like it's good, but I don't think it's great. Maybe I would enjoy it more as a collection, but
well, this was number 4.
Yeah.
But it was really number 3 because the Birdman story was not, and that's, you know, everybody knows Superman. You can kind of do that with Superman a little bit more, but you know, imagine if you came out with a Justice League book, and like, okay, it's a Justice League book, and you show these characters, and then you start a story, and then 2 issues in, well, actually, I guess they did do that with JLA, you went off on a completely different story that had nothing to do with anything else. It really drives, it kills any momentum you build, because the first issue I thought was great. The second issue was good. And then came the Harvey Birdman issue, and
I don't think, unless you are in between arcs, I don't think you can ever just completely, you know,
ignore,
change course and just tell origin stories for your characters. Like, Descender's doing that right now, and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I think the way to, if you want to do it, and I understand here why you would want to do it, because, again, you're introducing these characters to a generation that maybe has only, you know, Space Ghost Coast to Coast or Birdman Attorney at Law, they may not know what the real background of the character is.
I get that.
Do his backups.
They don't need a full issue.
No.
Like, leave it mysterious and teased.
Hopefully they're just
things.
Finding their bearings with this, because there's so many characters they can introduce. And
well, we still haven't had an issue that Doc Shaner has drawn the entire issue of.
Yeah.
Did you notice number 1 look like Moltar? Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if that was intent, because at first I thought that's who it was. I was like, okay, I didn't know they were bringing in Space Ghost Melons. And then they said, oh no, it's number 1. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
But no, it's good. Like I said, it's not my favorite, but it's good enough where I'm still buying it.
Yeah.
And that's it for me that I'll mention. Patrick? Okay.
We'll go with 4001 AD.
So. You know why? For some reason.
No, because you were letting me have it.
No, but for some reason it's not on my. Not showing up in my pull list email. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's weird.
Not from me, that's from Comixology.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, no, it's because Colin didn't give us any of the comics because they were damaged. Cover A was damaged.
All coming next week. Well, 20 copies of 4001 AD next week.
I just got a different cover because I wasn't going to not read it.
I think Adam's going to bring back the one he got and get a different one.
Probably.
Jerk.
He can put it in the folder
Who?
That it came from.
Who?
Adam Russell.
Who?
Adam, your best buddy. Your friend, your pal.
Wow.
Your sidekick.
Not here.
Oh, speaking of sidekicks, did any of you guys watch The Tick pilot on Amazon?
No.
Oh. It was quite good.
Was it?
But even better was Jean-Claude Van Johnson pilot on Amazon, which was fantastic.
Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I did listen to an interview with Ben Edlund somewhere talking about how he wanted to do a different take, you know, with that.
The Tick.
That series is set, you know, compared to the old one. Patrick Warburton, yeah.
It's definitely darker.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Arthur is definitely the focus.
Yeah,
the first episode. Yeah. But Jean-Claude Van Johnson is Jean-Claude Van Damme. He is retired. He is just, you know, become like a couch potato. Like, he has hot girls he sleeps with, but he rides his Segway the 15 feet to grab his newspaper and comes back and opens up his cabinet just full of Pop-Tarts. And we found out that he was a... Him being a movie star was cover for him being, like, this secret agent.
Okay.
And this woman he was in love with, who he worked with in that realm, He ran into her at this pop-up ramen place and decided to try and get back into that line of work to try and get close to her. So he has to, you know, he goes back to work in this film in Europe as cover, and it is a wacky take on Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, where he is playing Huck Finn and his romantic interest is Tom Sawyer, this woman.
Okay.
It's really self-aware of, you know, what it is in his career and who, you know, all the tropes that went along with those action movies.
Was Bolo Young in it?
No.
Okay.
No. But the show was really well done, and it was kind of hilarious. And I really hope that Amazon makes it a series.
Okay.
So I would highly recommend checking out The Tick Pilot and Jean-Claude Van Johnson on the Amazon pilot season.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, 4001 AD.
No, that's all right. So 4001 AD, you know, Rye, and he is able to defeat Father.
Yeah, which he pretty much already had Father defeated. This is just kind of like the killing blow.
Yeah. And New Japan falls.
Yeah.
But
Father's trying to talk him out of finishing him off because he's saying, oh, you're going to cause everything to crash down.
And die and all that. And, you know, it's not too late for you to walk away from this. You know, you can come back into the fold or whatever. And
yeah.
So, you know, Rai chooses to destroy Father. And yes, New Japan does come crashing to the earth, but not everybody dies.
No, it almost turns into different settlements across the world.
Yeah. And it very much sets up new stories to tell. This is the first Valiant event that I've read in issues. And I like how it did it. Now, mm-hmm. Rye was not a book that I was reading.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm really looking forward to the Bloodshot USA because that is something I'm reading.
Yeah. So you didn't read the Rye tie-ins for this?
No.
But you didn't miss anything.
No, I mean, I read the other tie-ins, the War Mother, yeah. the Exo, and all those, and those were good, but I...
Yeah, no, I like how they do the tie-ins where it's completely optional. If you want that history on the different, you know, versions of Rye over the years... then it's a great, you know, those were great issues, and the last one tied back to the beginning of the Rye series. But if you just want to read that event, you can, and it's enjoyable and self-contained, and, you know, 4 issues short, no big commitment.
Yeah.
But I liked a whole lot where this issue left all those characters. Like, we have them essentially in this, like, settlement now on Earth, with Rye and Galad and the Geomancer and Tula, and all of them have a purpose here, you know, to try and make this their home. Galad has a Geomancer to protect again. The Geomancer has this barren wasteland on Earth to try and, you know, bring mm-hmm. back to life. Rye now has to step into a leadership role, whereas before he was just the right hand of Father. Now he is, you know, the Father. But it's really cool. And it seemed like it's setting them up to be, you know, like one unit almost. And I'm curious to see how they're going to interact if they, you know, do. Because it said Rise coming back in 2017. So I imagine we're going to see more of a fleshed out, you know, universe in that time frame on this Earth now, that hopefully will tie in with things like War Mother and other things we saw, so.
Yeah.
It's cool. I really liked it. It was good.
Rough Riders.
Yes.
Did you read that, Dave?
I did read that.
So, this was kind of the Battle of San Juan Hill, and Teddy Roosevelt very much looked like Man-at-Arms from He-Man.
He did, yeah. You're right.
And then one of the soldiers even commented on the suit, and where he got it from, and he was like, what suit? Yeah, what suit? You know, he
yeah, right.
one of those. So, you know, while they're fighting, they get signaled that they need to go back to where Houdini and Jack Johnson were, where this alien super weapon was.
Yeah.
So the whole group gets there, and Teddy is now infected. Infected is the wrong word. It's like an earwig almost that's controlling your brain.
Well, they go to Guantanamo Bay in the bunker, and they find all the people who are being experimented on with this alien technology that from Bunker Hill. Is that where I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember where it came from.
Where they first, saw the laser blasts and stuff. But the series is, I was thinking about it, it's been consistently good. It's been very consistent in the writing and the art and everything.
It has. And, if I was asked to describe it, I'd have to say, it's the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with real people, as opposed to the fictional characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it really works because, Teddy Roosevelt, his legend would say, yeah, I could see Teddy Roosevelt doing that. It's Houdini.
Relationships are really good between the characters. They're very pretty much prickly relationships between everybody and Everybody hates Edison.
Yeah, everybody hates Edison, although Houdini...
For good reason.
Houdini and Jack Johnson seem to be getting along pretty well.
Yeah.
Edison is a racist D-bag. He actually had a particular line. He was supposed to get searched. And Teddy Roosevelt told Houdini to do it, and Edison made a comment to the effect of he would. I don't remember the epitaph he used for Jack Johnson, rather than the Jew. Speaking about Houdini, it's like, wow, this guy's a real jerk.
As far as you touched him.
Yeah. So it was like, wow, they're not pulling any punches here.
Yeah.
Although I guess he's been dead for 100+ years, so you can get away with some of that. It's been an excellent, just like adventure type deal. I think this will read well in trade, but it reads pretty well in single issue as well.
Yeah, especially they're coming out pretty regularly, at least.
Yeah, and I remember when it first came out, Colin had mentioned something about these smaller publishers and how sometimes their publishing schedule gets off, but Aftershock's been pretty good with getting these out on time.
Yeah.
Well, they have a real comic guy in charge, with Mike Martz, who used to be head of the Batman office, then went over to Marvel and did the X-Men office, and then decided to do this. So,
okay.
I think he understands the need of you can't ship whenever you feel like it. Which will come up later on our new next week.
Okay. And speaking of which, my last book is JLA. JLA.
Not the book, but the shipping schedule.
Brian Hitch. So,
scam.
The worst part about this book, honestly, is it's been so long since the last issue came out, I didn't even remember what the hell was going on. It's still having to do with Rao, which is great, except they're already referencing it in the new Justice League series about it being...
Same writer, so he knows how it ends.
Well, yeah, he does, but that doesn't do us as readers any good. It almost would have made more sense had they just done a quick issue to end the storyline prematurely and move on. And I get that he has an artistic vision of where he wants the story to go, and that's fine, but it's kind of getting in its own way right now. It's been very confusing, and what was it, issue 4, where they had to skip the Rao storyline, and they brought in something about Martian Manhunter. It did the same thing. You had such a gap, you lose where you're at in the story, and it happened again. And at this point, I'm not willing to go back and read the first 8 issues all over again. It just wasn't that interesting. It still involves Rao. There are stones that he can apparently hear. and it's all very, very confusing because it's taking place in multiple timelines with an older version of Rao from Argo City. An ancient Krypton was holding Green Lantern, and now he's releasing Green Lantern to stop the future, yet younger version of himself. It's, as I said, it's very confusing. I think it's a mediocre JLA story to begin with, and the time shift has not helped it. I saw that they canceled the annual, which I thought was going to be the wrap-up of this, but maybe not. I don't know. I wanted to like this book, especially when he came out and said he had the first 12 issues in the can. I just didn't realize it was a trash can. So. I wanted to like the book. I'm still buying Justice League.
It's fine.
It's not...
I agree. It's been a cluster.
Yeah. So. And that's the second JLA series that's been a cluster. Although the other one, the New 52 one, got derailed a bit by Forever Evil, I think. This one didn't have that problem. So. I know Brian Hitch... Lame Rebirth, but that doesn't account for issue 4 or whatever it was. So, anyway, that's all I got, Dave.
Okay. I have a couple other ones. X-Files Origins, number one. This is the origins of Fox Mulder and Dean Scully. The book was done in a flipbook format.
There's like Mulder, and then you flip it over. Scully.
Yeah, so one part is Mulder's story, and the other part is Scully's. They're each like 13, 14 years old, growing up in the mid 70s. Mulder is in Martha's Vineyard. This is like 2 years after his sister was abducted, and Scully is in San Diego with her family. Her dad was. Move there to be head of the naval base. Mm. And Mulder is, he's with the, you know, it's laying the groundwork for who they're going to be. Mulder is chasing UFOs with his two buddies on the beach, and they see, he's getting to be obsessed with what happened to his sister. And so they're hanging out on the beach, and they see some military guys come up in a boat. Well, not a boat, like a raft. And that starts their story. And Scully, her Sunday school teacher is shot and killed. And she's wondering, she can't help but be around dead bodies. And so she gets involved in that, wondering what's going on. I thought it was pretty good. It's done in a very kind of a cartoony style of the art, but we'll see where it goes. And the next one, I haven't talked about this one in a while, but James Bond.
Yeah, I wasn't enjoying this one as much as I really liked the first the Varger thing, but this one just didn't grab my attention.
I'm really liking this. James Bond number 9. Bond was sent to the United States to retrieve an agent, and they're attacked at Heathrow Airport, and now MI5 wants to take over the case from MI6. Because they think it's a domestic issue.
Mm.
And so there's some tension between those two organizations. And they find, was it Mrs. Birdwhistle or something? They find some screwy monetary transactions that lead to the Strategic Reserve Fleet, MI5 transactions that lead to the Strategic Reserve Fleet, which is this underground tunnels underneath Britain that has steam engines. They build all this stuff to, in case of a nuclear war.
Okay.
Because steam engines will be like tied to technology in such an instance. So they want Bond to go in there and see what's going on without a gun. And he's like, you know, do you want me to take a water pistol? Because they're not allowed to have...
Yeah, they're not allowed to have guns domestically.
Yeah. There's a lot of exposition, you know, in the first half of the book, and then there's like no word balloons or anything in the second half as Bond's making his way into the thing. But I love it's oh, Q's in it too. I think it's the first time Q shows up.
Okay.
But I love the art. The pacing of the art is great. How he does these action scenes, Jason Masters, and I think it's good. I really like it. And that's all I had. That's it.
Okay.
So let's come out next week.
Next week,
we have more stuff to read.
Well, luckily, I have stuff for you. We have, in case you missed 4180 number 4, I have my replacements coming. 20 copies altogether. Yay. A-Force number 9 is a Civil War tie-in. Action 963. All new Inhumans. All new X-Men. They don't like each other, but they're next to one another on my invoice. So. Sorry. All-Star Batman number 2. Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 2. Like the story, not so big fan of the art. I think you talked about that last week. Black Monday Murders, that's the Hickman one that got really good talk about it. I haven't read that one yet. Black Panther number 6. Briggs Land number 2 for Dave. For Dave. And I'm stunned. I'm going to read you a couple promo posters coming out next week.
Okay.
And the miracle of this is that they're actually shipping
before the issue.
Before the issue, and not even the week of the issue. Before the issue. I'm very happy about this. Champions number 1 folded promo poster, as well as the Civil War 6 promo poster. Sadly, we're still waiting for number 5, but we have the 6 promo poster arriving next week.
Is the Champions promo poster going to be the cover for the 1 in 1,000
variant? No, I think it's just the regular cover.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
So then we also have Civil War 2 Amazing Spider-Man number 4 wrapping up that. Gods of War number 4 wrapping up that, and Ulysses number 2 out of 3. Dark Knight 3 Master's Race number 1 Director's Cut is coming out next week. Deadpool number 18 is a Civil War tie-in, loosely. Deathstroke number 2. Doctor Who Third Doctor number 1. Doom Patrol number 1. I am hugely excited about this book. And there are actually 6 covers to it, so... Pick the cover you want. I will have them all, but of course I have more of the main one coming, and then there's those coming.
Who did the main cover?
Main one was, you know, I'm not sure who did it, because the only thing you really see, it's a big sticker. This was one neat thing that they talked about. It's got a big sticker of a gyro on the cover.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Okay.
And then if you peel it back, there's important information about the book underneath it. So you almost have to peel it off. So
you have to have 2 copies.
Well, I heartily recommend that. Yes.
Did you order enough to have everybody get?
I don't know. This was a tough one. I have 50 copies coming though, so I think that should be good for a Vertigo book.
Mm-hmm. I hate that stuff.
Well, I think they're just trying to be clever with it, but then the variant covers don't have that.
But they also know that people that collect comics.
I think they're just trying to be fun. They're trying to have fun.
Someone who collects them is not going to want to peel that sticker off.
And probably put it right back. I mean, it's not going to damage it. It's going to be one of those
because comic covers are so sturdy.
I'll have a demonstration copy for you. How about that?
There you go.
You know, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying it's a dumb...
Well, you know, odds are, better than not, that's going to be the box that gets damaged anyway.
I'm pretty sure Bleeding Cool will tell us what it says on that sticker.
Yeah.
Bleeding Cool... which has every week made itself a worse website than previously.
Yeah, I'm not hearing good things about Newsarama.
No, so. And I was in the middle of typing a tweet in the day, like, with Bleeding Cool CBR Newsarama tagged in it, saying, can someone recommend a site other than these three pieces of garbage? But then I stopped. I was like, no, I'll just delete it. But
nice.
Do you have one
that
you go to?
No, those are the ones that I'll be looking.
Yeah. I like Comic Vine and IGN, but they don't have...
enough.
They're like regular news, like
the Beat has gotten most of the columnists from CBR. Not most, but at least a couple of them. So
the IGN has the videos too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fix number 5, as well as Fix Trade Paperback Volume 1, which is a $9.99 trade paperback. I've read the first 2 or 3 issues. Really, really fun. About a couple corrupt cops getting in over their heads. Flash number 6. Gotham Academy second semester number 1. My only problem with this is I also have the Gotham Academy annual damage replacements coming, so I'm going to have to make a special spot for that. Not totally their fault, but Green Lanterns number 6. Oh my gosh, is it December already? Grimm Volume 2 number 1. New one coming off that TV show.
They said slip till December.
Right. Oh. So it's already coming. It's already December. Holy cow. Hadrian's Wall number 1. This is an 8-parter coming from Image. This is written by Nightwing writer Batman
Tim
Beyond.
Seeley?
No, the one
Tom
we
King?
No.
Kyle Higgins.
Yes. And
Batman Beyond writer. I think it's a Batman writer.
Oh, sorry, no, Batman. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern, so we're getting both Green Lantern books just due to a fluke. Infamous Iron Man promo poster. Holy cow.
That's
the
Doctor Doom one, right?
Yeah. Lady Killer number 2, or Volume 2 number 2. That one did very, very well. As did the previous series.
When are you getting the Ironheart promo posters from China?
I'll look into that, see if they've shipped yet.
Japan.
Sorry.
Mockingbird number 7 is a Civil War tie-in. New Superman number 3. Old Man Logan, number 11. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 2. Resident Alien, The Man with No Name, number 1. It's a Dark Horse book that looks interesting. It's had a couple series. About an alien basically becomes the town doctor. Samurai, Brothers in Arms, number 1. This is for James, who always likes the Samurai books when I mention them. Actually, saw him and his wife. I apologize for not knowing her name. In Baltimore, they were up as I was walking in, they were waving to me from the railing because I got in 2 hours before that.
Oh, okay.
And actually left right as they were going, as the whole crowd was going in.
Yeah.
I was sneaking out the door. Like the VIPs got in, but then the regular ticket holders were getting in, and I'm like, I'm going to sneak out now. And left and came home. Scooby Apocalypse 5, solo promo poster. This is getting crazy. Southern Cross number 7. The only reason I'm bringing this up, I checked to see when number 6 came out, and it was December 8th. And that, you know, there's the saga break where they take a couple months off, but
this one, I think
10 months.
This is a bit different. Black Cross was supposed to originally be a miniseries.
Okay,
it just went 6 issues. And I think then Southern Cross, then they decided to make it an ongoing.
Okay.
I think that's why it's
so
much
further
after.
The problem is, when it comes out, anybody that was getting it is just going to go,
I get that.
What's this? So it's just one of those, this is, you know, if this one doesn't sell, don't blame the retailers, you know.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I know, but they will.
But I'm pretty sure that one, it was a miniseries at first that then turned into...
Well, no, I don't think it was only... Well, it may have changed late, because I remember I had it on the shelf, and I kept looking at the end of number 6. Because, you know, when I'm looking for books to pull, it's like, gosh, that one's been there a long time, and I'll look at the end, and it says, to be continued. Okay, I put it back. And then after a while, it's like, okay, this is never going to get continued.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, they may have changed, like, when they got to issue 5 or something, decided to continue it.
That's where I bought the first issue, and it was okay,
it was
and I
okay.
thought, I'll
Did you read, Roche Limit had a very, very similar
I
plot.
I have 2 trades at home that my brother got me for my birthday.
It's just a similar plot where a policeman having to investigate a murder on a space station of a relative. They were both very,
are
very
similar. Are you thinking of Roche Limit, or are you thinking of Fuse?
Yeah, it sounds like
Fuse was similar, too, but I'm pretty sure Roche Limit was
okay
that as well.
So that was some sort of invasion.
Mm. Well, it may have turned into that, but at least the first issue, I'm pretty sure, was that. We have Spider-Man 8 Civil War tie-in, Spider-Man 2099 15 Civil War tie-in that Adam won't be getting because that makes him mad. Star Wars Force Awakens adaptation. Strain, Mr. Quinlan Vampire Hunter, which is, if you like the TV show, you might like this. I think it's giving his backstory. Suicide Squad number 2. Superwoman number 2 that I really liked. I'll say something about that in just a second. The Forevers, which is crazy to have it under the in the invoice, but this is a Black Mass book, so I have some hopes for that. Uncanny Avengers 14 is a Civil War tie-in, as is Uncanny Inhumans 13. Walking Dead trade paperback volume 26. This makes me happy to get, because I always like when these come out, because people buy them. Wonder Woman number 6, and then Wrath of Eternal Warrior number 11. One other change I've made, not change, this is something I used to do that I planned to do from when I very first started, when I first opened, and I've done kind of sparingly and not enough, but I put up some tags on some books that I want to move a little better, and it's Oops, I Overordered 50% Off, and I've done it on a bunch of the Rebirth ones, and it's more a point to move them, because they're all returnable, so I'll get my money back anyway, it doesn't matter, but I'd much rather somebody read them. Superwoman number 1 is one of those. I don't think nearly enough people looked at this book, because I thought I enjoyed it. I thought it was neat. Really good. It was different. And I have
it did not go the way you were expecting
no.
to go.
And I love books that do that. And so this one, I think, needs more eyes. So I put it on that. I put it on Supergirl Rebirth, which I didn't think moved very well at all. Just surprisingly, with the TV show and everything.
Yeah.
I put it on Red Hood and the Outlaws, which I liked the Rebirth. Really, I didn't read number 1. But again, ton on the shelf. And
New Superman,
which I think, again, I understand the reluctance to jump on that one, but I think it's deserving a few more people reading it. So, I mean, you can get both issues that are out for the price of one, so it's a good deal.
I'm looking at that almost like it's the new Justice League 3000, where it's a different version of Justice League.
And then I think I've also put it on Hellblazer, which I still have a lot of. So just, it's a red tag amongst all pinkish. So just look for them. I'm going to try to keep on top of that and get that out there more often. Oh, I also put it on Accused and Fallen, the Marvel ones, because they really didn't sell. And I think if you're reading Civil War, they are kind of important parts to the Civil War story, but you may have passed on them. So I'm selling them cheap. So, just around the store, keep your eyes out for changes going on. I'll try to... One other note I made for myself was better signage, to make more signs and stuff so that you know what is what. And a lot of times I just kind of assume people know what things are, and I got to get better at that. And if there's any... I'm always welcome to criticism. If you have any thoughts, ideas, things I should do, no, I don't want to start carrying plushies and whatever things, but based on, you know... I don't know. I'm always up for any ideas. If you ever see me getting complacent, you know, tell me to snap out of it. But
can we slap you around?
Now is a little bit of the crazy period as we're getting your gearing up for Christmas and stuff like that, so it'll be a little bit busier. I'm happy the kids are back in school, because, today I was here at 9 o'clock, and it's just always... I was able to get all those books out, make the signs... On the books on the table, just, you know, between 9 and 10, nobody's coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice. I mean, some mornings I'll just sit there and, you know, do nothing, but, when I'm motivated, it's nice to come in and get stuff done. When nobody's here, it's a lot easier to work.
Close Mondays.
I could, but Monday's my day off, so, like, that doesn't affect me at all, Monday.
But you can still have an employee here doing those things.
Yeah, well, to be honest, you know, with the 8 customers that come in, he can get whatever. And that's another big thing that was in my notes, is give him more to do. Say, hey, Tim, Sunday and Monday, I'd love to get these 10 things done. And he'll do them. I just need to give him better direction.
Yeah.
That's on me. I mean, it's all on me, but... So, as always, you can find me at the store, PittsburghComics.com, Pittsburgh Comics on Facebook, at PGH Comics on Twitter and Instagram. I've started a Tumblr, but I don't know what it is. So I'll look more at that. But I've made 5 posts. That's about it, right? Dave, would you please?
That's the podcast.
We will talk to you next week. See ya.